following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Everything you do on the Newsprint Network is important. Today we honor the following party invite posted by Nate.
Sup, homies and homettes. This holiday office party is going to be off the chizzy for Rizzy. We're going to get the party started with some sick gingerbread house decorating. Then we'll get down to some legit jams with some sweet carol singing. And if you didn't think this party could get any more ill, everyone is going to walk away with some serious swag from our White Elephant gift exchange. But keep it under $5, yo.
In honor of the important things you do over the holidays, Sprint brings last-minute shoppers this great deal. Right now, switch your number to Sprint and save up to $100 on any phone. That makes the new Samsung Galaxy S4 Mini free after a $50 mail-in rebate. Visit a Sprint store or Sprint.com today.
Offer ends 12/25/13. Rebate via reward card. Coverage and offer not available everywhere. Subject to 2-year agreement, credit, port in, activation, and early termination. Excludes taxes. No cash back. Restrictions.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Danny Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Danny Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Busy time of the year. This is for all the mailmen out there. All the postal workers, busiest day of the year, huh? Crazy. Keep up the good work. At least it's a nice day out there in Nebraska. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday show. Coming up, we're going to talk high school basketball with St. Cecilia boys coach Kevin Asher. Got a nice win over the weekend, couple of them, but beat a top five team in Donovan Trumbull. Also, we're going to catch up with Jeff Shelton of the Omaha World Herald. He is the Nebraska volleyball beat writer. The Husker season came to an end to Texas on Saturday night, so Nebraska makes it to the Elite Eight. Texas, Washington, Penn State, the top three teams in the country, along with Wisconsin, have all made it to the Final Four, and I guess there's no major surprise there. Missouri was the other seeded team, and many people believe they just were the benefactors of a very weak conference, and Wisconsin comes out of that. So Texas-Wisconsin in the first national semifinal on Thursday night in Seattle. That gets underway at 6:30. That'll be followed by the Washington-Penn State match right after that. Weekend flies by. All kinds of stuff going on, from bull riding to basketball, from Army-Navy game to the Heisman Trophy, and Jimmy Langan's back with us in studio. What's up, man? I think Army-Navy went under, didn't it?
Yeah, we lucked out there. We snowed a bunch, and
Army kept trying to score.
Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? The way that the snow came up in that game as it went on. The radio announcer says, well, it's snowing a little bit more. Well, it's snowing more, and that's all he kept talking about. So it wasn't a whole lot of excitement in the game.
You threw out a couple of pro picks, too. And I don't know if we officially use these because we kind of stay on the college, but you just kind of threw them out. And you got lucky on the one you won, and you were unfortunate on the one you lost, because I was kind of with you on both of these. The Redskins marched down and scored and covered against Atlanta, because Atlanta was favored by 7. But then the Browns just gave the Bears the football game, in my estimation. You know, you get a defensive score, even though the Browns had a couple, and then just kind of a jump ball to Alshon Jeffrey. It was a weird Sunday in the National Football League. And yes, I know, Dallas puked. So however you guys want to tweet us or Facebook us or email us and come up with something really crafty there, I get it. And a big day for the Kansas City Chiefs. And tonight, Monday Night Football, Denver taking on Baltimore. So a lot of stuff to talk about.
You know, the the Tennessee Titans, I don't know if you saw the end of that game, too. That was an amazing finish. You know, we've had a couple finishes back-to-back weeks where teams have been down, you know, 14 points, looked like they were beaten. How about Cleveland? Even Cleveland, the Chicago Bears were ahead by 7. The Browns had no timeouts left. And they had the game won, and this guy decides to go 48 yards for a touchdown, which is the only way the Bears could lose, is if he scores a touchdown. And Cleveland scores a touchdown and now has a chance for the onside kick. Now, a lot of people don't think this way, but when you have a 7-point lead and the other team has no timeouts left, the only way you can lose is if you score.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only way you can lose, because you give them the ball back.
Michael Bush breaks one, and exactly.
You know, I don't know. A lot of those teams, they're telling their players to fall down at the 1-yard line for a reason, and that's why they do that.
I'll just run them down real quick, and I think I've got a quick synopsis on almost all of them. And then, Jimmy, if there's one that stands out that we haven't talked about, Buffalo behind at Jacksonville, then has a big lead. Jacksonville throws a pick in the end zone, ends up a 7-point game. We talked about Chicago. Houston has given up, and Indianapolis with only scoring a safety there in the second half. They win that easily. Miami has to pick off Tom Brady's fourth down pass on fourth and goal to preserve a win in that football game. Philadelphia, it's hard to figure them out. Minnesota, you figure without their top two running backs and Matt Castle at quarterback, what kind of weapons will they have? Will they find a way to put up 48 points? San Francisco pretty much dominated Tampa Bay, although the Bucs cut it to 6 late in that ball game before the Niners defense took over. The Giants, we've heard all morning how terrible they are, with Seattle winning that. Seattle won it 23-0, could have won it 43 or 53-0. That's how bad it was. We talked about Washington. Jamal Charles goes nutso. He was a fantasy football player's dream yesterday, and Kansas City crushed them. Carolina and the Jets back and forth. A second half defensive touchdown, a big key in that ball game for Carolina. You talked about Tennessee down 17 with 4 minutes to go, forces overtime, and then finds a way to lose. Green Bay down 23 at half, comes back and beats Dallas. St. Louis just blitzed New Orleans, had that game the whole way. And then last night, Pittsburgh defeats Cincinnati. So there weren't a whole lot of big-time favorites that came through yesterday.
You know, Doug, the one thing I kind of got out of it yesterday, it seemed to me that the conference, and I get confused with what conferences they're called now, I think, but the Chicago Bears.
There's no longer an AFL.
Yeah, that's right. I know that. The Chicago Bears, the Green Bay Packers, and the Minnesota Vikings are all in the same division, and they all covered yesterday. And, you know, they played the Eagles and the Cowboys. And, you know where this is going. But, I mean, that's the only thing I noticed. I mean, we've all said that the division with the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos is pretty good. And we think maybe the group with, you know, the Seattle Seahawks and the 49ers. And that group might be a little bit better than the other groups. But, the conferences are just bizarre, but, you know, figuring out this professional football. Well, I mean, one play here, one play there. I mean, they're all so equal.
And you mentioned that NFC West. They all won yesterday. Niners, Seahawks, Cardinals, Rams, all of them won. I think that is the toughest division in the National or League Conference. That's the toughest division in the National Football League.
And I agree, and I think the second one is the one that I did not think was going to be that good, and that is the Bears and the Packers and the Lions. And I didn't think that group was going to be very good. I actually thought that the Eagles and Cowboys in that group would be better, and I think I'm leaning the other direction.
888-455-ESPN if you'd like to join us on the Bruce Furniture Fan Line. 888-455-3776. You can always email us to the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. You can tweet us, our Twitter address at ESPN1460 1550. Jeff always does a little dance when we get a tweet, so if you'd tweet us today, that'd be great, at ESPN1460 and 1550. And you can Facebook us. We are ESPN Superstation on your Facebook. Texas getting, it's not saying they get. They said, oh, hey, you know, Mac, if you want to stay, fine. Well, then why would Mac leave? Come on. This story coming out this morning, and I don't know how many people saw this. Lee Barfneck mentions it on the World Herald website, that the Nebraska Athletic Department is disputing a Texas newspaper report that a person representing Nebraska contacted the agent of Mac Brown to gauge his interest in coaching the Huskers. A text from Nebraska Athletic Director Sean Eichhorst to the World Herald said one word, deny, exclamation point. Eichhorst offered no other comment and did not respond to a follow-up text. How many times recently, Jimmy, have we heard imposters getting a hold of people? I mean, it happened with the USC job. Was it Tony Dungy? There was a couple of guys out there that said, yeah, you know, I was contacted by USC, but it had no interest. And then USC's going, we didn't contact you. I mean, so in this day and age, take that for what it's worth, people. Nebraska's not contacting Mack Brown. If Nebraska hired Mack Brown, I would probably have a problem being a fan anymore, as deep-rooted as Nebraska is. No one in Nebraska would stand for Mack Brown to be their football coach, would they, Jimmy?
Not now. I don't think that's possible. You know, when I look back at sports, you know, there's a competitive thing. Sometimes you get competitive, and Colorado had a football coach that had some success, Doug, he really did have some success.
McCartney.
In Colorado. He had some success at Colorado. But Tom Osborne. There was a time when there people were talking about Tom Osborne might go to Colorado. Do you remember that?
After Chuck Fairbanks, before Bill McCartney in that era, 79, yeah.
Right. But then there was a time when he couldn't go there. You know, and that was after that rivalry, you know, that there was no way that was going to work out. I don't know if UCLA and USC exchange coaches that often either. They're just a couple places where it's not going to work. Just
one other thing, because Kevin Asher is set to join us here to talk a little St. Cecilia basketball as we continue to catch up with some of the area coaches. Congratulations to Kearney for winning the Council Bluffs wrestling. It was the first time that they've had this new event in Council Bluffs. They beat Grand Island. That's kind of a twofold thing. Grand Island is finally defeated, which has not happened in the state of Nebraska, and I guess technically this isn't either, but congratulations to Kearney. They get the big win this weekend over at the Council Bluffs. Grand Island still pretty solid in second at the Council Bluffs Wrestling Classic. Also, Jimmy, the Heisman Trophy. Astonished is not the word, but surprised. Jameis Winston, fifth largest point total victory ever, but he still left off of, I believe it was 110 total ballots out of about 1,000. So if you voted for him, I guess you voted for him number one. Not everybody did. I know that for a fact. I'll let you know who I voted for. I get a Heisman Trophy ballot, have the last handful of years. Extreme honor. Love doing it. I think this might be the first year I did not vote for the winner. And the thing that really surprised me is that A.J. McCarron of Alabama was second. I want to know what these people were watching. And I'm afraid that that's just a career award. A.J. McCarron of Alabama was not one of the top two football players in the NCAA this year, according to me. That doesn't make it right or wrong. That's just my opinion.
Doug, if I had a vote on that, I would have not had him on my ballot. They could have had five guys. You could vote for first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. And I would have never gone that deep with him. I don't think – I think Alabama had a great football team, and I thought there was a lot of players that represented Alabama very well. But they did not have a player that was deserving to get a Heisman Trophy vote. I mean, so I could not have voted for A.J. McCarron. And that's the only one I saw on that ballot that I actually looked at and said, hey, that's not right. Boston College wins seven games. Without that guy, they don't win three games. You know what I mean? So, there's some players that actually deserve to be on the ballot, but I just didn't see that one. It had to be just because of the conference he played in.
Yeah, and that's where the Boston College running back and Andre Williams, he was probably the guy I wrestled with the most. I left him off the ballot because as I researched it more, the big games on their schedule were the ones that he did not perform well in. 70 yards, 39 yards, 110 yards, which 110 is but for a guy that rushed for 2,100 yards. So 668 voters had Jameis Winston number one, A.J. McCarron 79, and then on down the list, Jordan Lynch was third, the quarterback at Northern Illinois, Andre Williams was fourth, the running back at Boston College, fifth was Johnny Manziel, the defending champion quarterback at A&M, then it was Trey Mason of Auburn, Bryce Petty from Baylor, Derek Carr from Fresno State, Braxton Miller, Ohio State, and Kadeem Carey for Arizona. Those were the top 10 Heisman Trophy. Third for me on my ballot, I voted Jameis Winston third. Second, I voted Jordan Lynch from Northern Illinois because it's still to me in this day and age, and maybe this is just where we grew up, could Jameis Winston have done at Northern Illinois what Jordan Lynch could have done at Florida State? When you got so much more talent, I think you do more with less is my point. And finally, I voted for Johnny Manziel. He's the guy I voted for, number one, to win the Heisman. Your thoughts, you can get a hold of us, Dead Popper Inbox, tweet us, give us a buzz as well. But right now, I don't know. I don't think he could have ever been a Heisman Trophy winner, but maybe Cy Young, Golden Glove winner, Kevin Asher, head basketball coach at Hastings St. Cecilia. I don't think he'd ever win the Bob Cousy Award or NBA MVP. Kev, what do you think? Baseball would have been more yours?
I don't know. Depends who's voting, and there aren't many people that like me, so it's been real tough to put me on a ballot, I guess.
Hey, even Barry Bonds was an MVP, brother. Great to have you on the show. How are you?
Great. Doing well.
Well, I know you're probably better after this weekend, getting a couple of wins. You have a very tough start to the schedule here, and you had such a young team last year, but a lot of these kids back, and you got a couple of key wins, including knocking off a top-five team in Donovan Trumbull.
Well, we knew the start of the season was going to be difficult, and it always has been. And, you know, the inexperience, I think, the first weekend caught us a little bit. You know, we went to overtime with a good Columbus SCOTUS team that was an experienced team, and you could see their experience really grasp that last 4 minutes of the ball game, and we get outscored 12-5, but we only gave up 38 points through three quarters and to a very electric type offense. And I thought that was a very, very good sign for what was, you know, things hopefully to come. And then the next night we go on the road, or next 2 days later we go on the road to Wahoo Newman, who's a top two team in C1, and you look at that as a great challenge, and, you know, they were ready for us. That wasn't their first ball game either, and usually it is, but they went and scheduled a game with St. Albert's on Thursday night too. So they were ready, and we knew that our youth and our inexperience and our seniors could possibly be a factor, and I think it was. I don't think we responded real well to a road game, and not that we played poorly. It was just the fact that, you know, we just didn't get off to a great start, and it kind of snowballed from there, and being down 8 to 10, 12 points through three quarters, and then they rounded it up to 20 to end the game. So, you know, we had a lot to get better at, and most teams do this time of the year. You got to go back, and each week is a new week, and our kids put everything behind them, and they knew Donovan Trumbull was going to be a great challenge on Friday night, and going on the road to Blue Hill on Saturday, the same thing. So we approached the week with about as intense a practice as we've had for three, four days in a row, and the kids really responded. We told them it was going to be a hostile atmosphere, and our kids were definitely outsized and outweighed and out everything as far as that go. But, you know, I think we grew up a lot, and we had to get off to a good start against them, and we did. And as the game progressed, I told the kids if we're there through three quarters, I think that's a great sign that, you know, you got to give them some credit too, because they haven't had a lot of practice. Their legs were probably not as strong as they should be, and they will be at the later on in the season. So the fatigue maybe was a factor in there. And then, you know, after winning that ball game, you never know how you're going to respond going on the road to Blue Hill. And we, with our state championship type teams, we struggled. We tried to stress that to the kids, but we got off to a great start again over at Blue Hill, and you know, carried a 12-point lead through most of the ball game, and then it ballooned up towards the end. But no, very happy after the initial first 2 weeks.
Hey, Jim Langan here. Hey, I noticed your scores of your games. It looks like you're trying to play maybe in the 40s and 50s. Is that necessarily something you're trying to do? Because you did score quite a few points against Blue Hill.
Well, definitely our defense has got to be better than it has been the last year, and we talked a lot to the kids about that. And I think, you know, we're still finding some roles and, you know, some things like that. But, you know, I don't know. We don't have an explosive, I'd say, offensive team when our scoring is going to come from Alex Sheehy, who's averaging about 12 a game. And that's probably where he's going to be most of the season. And then, realistically, the next four or five scorers that we have are sophomores, and we start three sophomores, and we bring three or four sophomores off the bench, and we've got three seniors that rotate in there also, and they're not going to be the big time scorers that some teams see with their senior leadership as far as scoring. So our sophomores have some ability to score, but then they're still sophomores, and we play a very difficult schedule, and a lot of times it's against great athletes, and so they're finding out that frustration becomes a part of that game. And yes, we definitely probably can't win a shootout game, but yeah, you know, in the 70s, but I was a little bit surprised on Saturday night that we did come out and put up 72 points without shooting the three-point shot very well, and that's usually what we have to do.
Talking with Kevin Asher, head boys basketball coach at Hastings St. Cecilia. At the beginning, I kind of said that you got a lot of kids back. Well, you did have four starters technically graduate, but it's kind of hard to believe that this group of kids is only sophomores. You're in a situation where your son Brooks and I guess his buddies and his teammates, you've seen them since the day they picked up basketballs, and they've been playing well together. So you may have sophomores, but they've seen a lot of court time.
Yeah, they have. And, you know, since the day I got here, we tried to play that group of kids up a year, and I learned a lesson from Coach Trader. He always said you're only going to get better if you play the best type of teams, and your younger kids learn how to play the game so much better if they're having to grind through games and so forth. So we always played them up a year, and I think as freshmen they were, you know, playing like a sophomore, and hopefully this year as they get a little bit more experience, they're going to be seasoned like a junior would be at this time. They have to be. It's, you know, that's just the way it is. Right now we don't have a junior out for basketball, and our five seniors, Alex Shee, like I said earlier, he played as a sophomore and responded pretty well. But our other seniors have just played limited time. I mean, Cannon Howell gave us a great game on Saturday night over at Blue Hill with 9 points off the bench, and I think he's kind of found his role. And we were without our starting center at Donovan. He blew out his ankle on Wednesday, 6'4", Thomas Skoke, and he's made a really good stride as far as his maturity level physically. And when we lost him, Trevor Ernst steps in. He's a 6'2 center, but he's kind of one of those blue-collar kids that nobody wants to play against. And so he did an excellent job in that game of playing inside. And, you know, he's just not going to have – you probably won't even see him in a box score a lot of times, but he gets 3 or 4 rebounds, 3 or 4 assists, guards the other team's best post player, and does an excellent job there. And then Tommy O'Keefe is another guy that comes off the bench for us as a senior, and he just plays his tail off. And unfortunately for him, he was sick on Saturday at Blue Hill. So we, you know, with a couple little tweaks here and there, I think we're going to be pretty deep. We got a big kid back in the name of Braden Poppy as a sophomore, and he came in against Donovan Trumbull. He's about 260, 6'2", and, you know, he was a bigger factor in that game than I realized after I watched the film, but he really held his own in there for a big kid.
Hey, Coach, I look at your schedule here. I've got it on the NSA website. Boy, you've got a really tough schedule in January. Unbelievable. Did you make that schedule, or do you need a new activities director up there to kind of help out? You got to find somebody to play here.
Well, Jimmy, if that AD job and the basketball job ever comes open over here, you're going to want to change it. It's nothing we can really do right now. Coach Aarons and I, the athletic director, have looked at it, and you know, we've just had enough success in that 3 to 4 year run that a few teams in the area chose for all their different reasons, you know, not to play, and then our girls are so darn good right now that nobody wants to pick us up because the girls are so darn good. And usually you pick up boy-girl doubleheaders. And when we were in that stretch, we'd always play one or two Class B teams. We always had Omaha Scud or a Ralston or something maybe at the – and then I don't know if everybody said, hey, there's a little feasting on us that we can get. So Gretna – we picked up Gretna, and then in a holiday tournament, it was unfortunate that Beatrice gets in that. But that's, you know, Northwest wanted to play, and that's just 20 minutes up the road. So you're playing some Class Bs, and then the Centennial Conference and Kearney Catholics, and, you know, the teams that are in this area are awfully good, too. So I look at it as a positive. It's not a negative. You know, we are a C2 school. It's going to give us some power points. And the biggest thing is you got to get better as the season goes on. And your kids aren't going to get too beat down if they lose, have a losing streak, you know, somewhere in there, as long as they're trying to get better. I thought that was one thing that last year's team had no business at times being in that type of a schedule, but they never let it bother them, and they kept getting better all the way to the end of the season and staying positive, and we ended up in the district final losing to the state champion. So, you know, you know, you kind of got to go with that again this year. It looks like it's going to be a tough road to hoe, but the kids have really responded to that.
Kevin Asher, head boys basketball coach at St. Cecilia. St. Paul is their next ball game. They'll have them back home, just their second home game tomorrow. Then they've got Sutton rolling in on Friday night. Then the Aurora Holiday Tournament. Kev, you mentioned Beatrice, Aurora, you. Who else is in there?
Norfolk Catholic.
Oh, no problem. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, big deal. No. All right, Kev.
Throw in a tough team in there.
Yeah, you know, you guys don't play anybody. So we'll let you get back to class. Have a Merry Christmas, buddy, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. Kevin Asher, head boys basketball coach at St. Cecilia. He kind of covered a whole lot of ground today. We didn't have to ask him a whole lot of questions. He covered it.
Yeah, I think he was ready for the interview. I think he knew you were calling him.
Yeah, their non-conference games, Donovan Trumbull, and I'm not going to mention them all, but Donovan Trumbull, Sutton, who's been in the finals, Donovan Trumbull, who's in the top five. He mentioned Gretna, Class B Power, Grand Island Northwest, who has really upped their program as well, Minden, who has been at the state tournament for a number of years. He mentioned Kearney Catholic. They've added Parkview Christian, a D2 top five team. And again, I'm telling you, I saw them play in the preseason GICC early season tournament. If they stay healthy and if they've got a couple kids that haven't been ruled because they're transfers in, if they get a couple more kids by the time January rolls around, I don't know how anybody beats those guys in D2, let alone some of the other classes. And then that's just some of what they've got on their schedule. So that holiday tournament as well. I want to thank Coach Asher for joining us here today. We've covered a lot of ground, basketball, the Heisman Trophy race, professional football, Mac Brown, all that. The Huskers will start getting ready for bowl preparations. They did that Saturday. They had their banquet yesterday. We'll let you know about some of the award winners in just a moment. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Hi, it's the Herd. The Christmas season is here, and 1-800-Flowers.com has a special offer on beautiful holiday roses to celebrate the season. Just the house feels warmer during the Christmas season. Brighten it up. Peppermint Rose Bouquet from 1-800-Flowers. 18 red and white roses, the perfect gift this time of the year. Christmas, birthdays, anniversaries, and it's a limited time offer from 1-800-Flowers just for you. Order this beautiful bouquet, 18 red and white peppermint roses, and a vase for $29.99. You'll save $20 on this seasonal rose bouquet, but only when you use my name. And it's available only while supplies last. And you know, people are in gift-giving modes during the holidays. Hurry to order now. Offer ends Friday. To get $20 off this peppermint rose bouquet, go to 1-800-Flowers.com now, download the mobile app, click on the radio mic, upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter my name, or call 1-800-Flowers. And
this is that sad time of year again when you're unhooking your propane bottle and wheeling that grill into the garage for the winter. I know you'll miss her. This is Jeremy at HK Sports Bar and Grill, and I've got some great news for you. We never put our grill away. Every day is a backyard barbecue for us. We're talking burgers that require both hands, juicy Nebraska ribeyes, baby back ribs, even smoked brisket. So throw that cover over your grill and get down to HK Sports Bar and Grill.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Husker Power Products of Hastings is your supplier of diesel, natural gas, and LP propane irrigation engine parts and service too. They sincerely thank you for your business this past year and wish you a safe and happy holiday season.
Monday, Calvin Johnson and the Detroit Lions take on Joe Flacco and the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens. Hi everyone, Kevin Harlan of Westwood One. Join Boomer Esiason and me live from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth at Ford Field for all the action. Which team will continue their march toward the playoffs? Tune in to find out. If it's the NFL, it's right here
on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We'll see mainly sunny skies and warm temperatures in our forecast for today. Expect highs near 54 degrees, and we'll see partly cloudy conditions tonight with lows near 23. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now, it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, where right now you can log on to ESPNSuperstation.com and fill out the Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza. It's all online. You pick the team, you put your contact information in case you're one of our winners, and we have got some great prizes. You can check them out on ESPNSuperstation.com, from Russell's Appliance, Troutman's Quality Meats, Cunningham's, Big Dally's Deli. Those are just some of our great prizes. So check it out. We're giving away, I believe, another TV. We've got a big gift card from Troutman's and Cunningham's. So a chance to fill it out at ESPNSuperstation.com. Our deadline is the Military Bowl. Was that on the 28th then? Is that the deal? 27th, on the 27th. So Friday the 27th, you have to have it filled out by Friday the 27th. So here's the deal. Do it before Christmas or you're going to forget. It's free, open to everybody. Sign up, get in today for the Doug and Daddy Bowl Challenge, brought to you by Russell's Appliance, Troutman's Quality Meats, Cunningham's, and Big Dally's Deli. Coming up on the show, Jeff Sheldon of the Omaha World Herald will join us to talk a little bit about Nebraska volleyball here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Have you delved into the bowls at all yet, Jimmy? Have you looked at them much?
No, you know, I really haven't. I'll tell you what, you know, when basketball officiating starts, I really get busy with that. You know what I mean? And just going with that type of stuff. And so I have not really got into checking out some of these games and et cetera. I'm going to lean towards the underdog almost in every game.
Yeah.
You know, I really am. And I haven't really got some information down. But, you know, I was interested last year how Florida State and Northern Illinois, when they played in that bowl game, and how Northern Illinois, when they played, how Florida State dominated. And I thought, well, maybe Northern Illinois did not belong in this game. Well, now I look at Florida State. They were dominated everybody, you know. So, and in Florida, got beat by Louisville in the bowl game. Well, look what happened to Florida this year. They weren't that good, you know. So sometimes you pick up on some stuff, you know, and if you get an advantage, maybe if you can find five or six games, you know, you can make a little cash.
This comes from Brent, who says, hey, Double D, don't know if you saw the USA Today article on the Texas job, but here are the candidates they think might be at the top of the search list. I'll get to those and let you know that we've been in contact with Pete Roussel of CoachingSearch.com, who is on assignment this week, but we will have him on at the next availability. But there's also some great articles at CoachingSearch.com. Baylor coach Art Briles, Michigan State coach Mark D'Antonio, Florida State coach Jimbo Fisher, Mississippi coach Hugh Freeze, Oklahoma State coach Mike Gundy, the Niners' Jim Harbaugh, Auburn's Gus Malzahn, TCU's Gary Patterson, Louisville's Charlie Strong. Brent says, I agree with the article's choice of Gundy since he almost left Oklahoma State for Tennessee. Who do you guys think might sign the contract? And as you look at CoachingSearch.com, a lot of those same names are up there. Dabo Sweeney of Clemson is another one, and James Franklin out of Vanderbilt. They were talking about it this morning on Mike and Mike and on Colin Cowherd. You have to think it's going to be a name that makes a splash, but most of these names would not make a splash. I mean, seriously, Hugh Freeze, Charlie Strong, Gary Patterson, James Franklin, none of those would, in fact, Mark D'Antonio wouldn't either, just because we're a favoritism for him now in the Big Ten. What do you do at Texas? I think they're in a position where they've got all this money, and it's not going to be Nick Saban, and it sure seems like they don't have the next guy ready to take the job. They didn't have somebody ready to sign a contract today.
Yeah, that'll be a real interesting situation, how this pans out. You know, the Washington job, that was pretty much, if you went through it and looked at it, you had the guy at Boise State that was maybe going to go to USC, and all of a sudden he said, well, I'm going to pull my name out. And then an hour later, they hired the Washington coach, and an hour later, well, you know, basically an hour later. I mean, that was done in an hour. They didn't release it until 24 hours later. But basically, that was a done deal where, hey, you know, Boise State's going to Washington, Washington's going to USC, we got it covered now.
Do you think Texas has somebody?
Well, I definitely think that I'm almost positive that they had that meeting and they said, okay, listen,
You're no longer going to be the head football coach here at Texas. But you've been here for 16 years, and we want you to release it. We don't want to release this. You release this at a time that you feels comfortable for you. Now, do you want to do that either Friday, Saturday, or Sunday? You know what I mean? That's how I really felt like that meeting went down. And he went home, and he got to have his banquet that night and be the head football coach at Texas. During that time, he went home, talked to his wife. He said, hey, it's inevitable. I'm out of here. You know, but I want to save some face. But it kind of reminds me of Florida State with Bobby Bowden. You know, when Bobby Bowden left, he didn't get to leave on great terms, but he did leave with class. You know, it wasn't the way he wanted out. But a lot of coaches stay 1 year too long or 2 years too long, and their reputation gets, you know, soiled a little bit. And I don't know if that's what he wanted. But Bobby Bowden, now if you look back at him, you know, and boy, wouldn't it have been nice if Joe Paterno would have left 5 years before he did? Wouldn't it have been nice if, you know, some of these guys, you know, the way you'd look and, you know, a lot of guys stay too long. If something happens, look at Bobby Knight. You know, Bobby Knight, a class coach at Indiana, maybe stayed a year too long, you know. So, I mean, you know, what's your feeling on
that? Joe Statues would still be there? I mean, because he brought the program kind of back in those last few years that he was the coach. Do you think there would have been the mass? Say that he had stepped down and was a couple of years removed from the program and all these allegations came out. I'm guessing most of this, there would have been a little bit different reaction from Penn State.
Yeah, probably so.
Probably still a statue there.
Yeah.
Probably still should be.
Well, you know. Very seldom does this happen, that a coach gets out at the correct time and then comes back. Now, I'm going to tell you, Bob Devaney got out at the correct time. Tom Osborne got out at the correct time. So, their reputation's high. The coach at Kansas State got out at the correct time, and he left. And a couple guys came in and tried to coach it and didn't. They wanted him right back, and that's Bill Snyder. But that very seldom does that happen when you get to get out. And you get to pick when you get out, you know. So, but there's been some college coaches that left and went to the pros and didn't work back out, and then came back and then had successful college coaches. Steve Spurrier, you know. I mean, I'm going through some. They'd had a successful tenure, and you know, I mean, I think, you know, the guy at Alabama didn't do too bad either, you know. So,
yeah, Bear. How about Army? They get rid of their coach after 5 seasons, 3-9, never beat Navy. I don't know how the Navy coach is doing it, because I think they have to work under the same parameters. But how incredibly tough is it to be a head coach at one of the service academies? Air Force has had their success, not as much anymore. Navy was down for so many years, and their great coach has at least got them into some bowl games, and they beat Army, and that's... But who looks for that job at Army? Who tackles that? Some Division II go-getter? I mean, that is tough.
You know
that
what,
is tough.
You know, what amazes me is not the football, but these NCAA basketball coaches that have to go to Army, Navy, and Air Force Academy. You know, you talk about
you
that.
A little more finesse.
Yeah. I mean, and so you could kind of do some things. I mean, I think Army was like third in the nation in rushing. And I mean, you know, they went 3-8. So that tells people, hey, you got to run the ball. Well, you can't just, you got to play some defense and you got to do some other things. But Navy.
You don't know how to come back from behind. You don't know how to compete in the fourth quarter.
Right.
Because you can't throw the ball and you don't have those athletes. You don't have the speedsters. I mean, you got guys that are coming to be in the Army that play football. You're not bringing in guys to play football that are also going to go to school at Nebraska, Kansas, USC, Georgia.
Good point.
So there you go. The Johnny the Jet Rogers Award winner named this morning. It's Ty Montgomery of Stanford beating out Odell Beckham of LSU and Ryan Switzer of North Carolina. He was first nationally in kickoff return yards per game, second nationally in kickoff returns for touchdown, ninth in all-purpose yards per game, 10 games with 100-plus all-purpose yards, his first team All-Pac-12 as a returner and second team as a wide receiver. The name coming from former Heisman Trophy winner Johnny the Jet Rogers. And so the Jet Award going to Ty Montgomery out of Stanford, one of the new awards. Peyton Manning, the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. Also, Nebraska held their yearly football banquet yesterday. Amir Abdullah named the team's most valuable player. He was also the lifter of the year for the second straight year, which is always unusual if a skill position guy gets that. Abdullah and senior defensive end Jason Ankara were announced as additional captains. Of course, this year, Bo Pelini had four captains named at the beginning of the year. The defensive MVP, Randy Gregory. The offensive MVP, Quincy Enunwa. Pat Smith, the place kicker. The special teams MVP. And then a variety of different awards. The Chamberlain Trophy goes to Jeremiah Searles. The Novak Trophy goes to Ron Kellogg. The Fisher Native Son Award, Cole Penzick. The Bobby Reynolds Award, Jake Long. The Walk-On of the Year, Sam Birch. Then you got your scout team MVPs. Offensive, Adam Taylor. On the I-back position, linebacker Courtney Love. Defense, character awards, Tariq Allen, Mike Mody, and Scott Chris. The Pat Clare Award goes to Tariq Allen. Husker Hart Award goes to Brandon Chapik. So congratulations to all of those guys.
Yeah,
some names you probably never heard of.
Well, they announced a couple new captains, too. Did you see that?
Yeah, you know, Abdullah and Ankara,
yeah.
Joining the team. So they got six of them that'll probably be walking out there or crutching out there, as the case may be for Spencer Long when they take on Georgia. Doug and Daddy Show will roll on here in just a moment, but don't forget, folks, T&L Irrigation wants you to get your preventative maintenance scheduled right now by contacting your local T&L dealer. Get that taken care of for the new year. That way, when it's time to start planting crops, you're ready to go when 2014 rolls around. Maybe you're looking at a new system. Maybe you're going to gain some new ground and you need another pivot system, and you want to know more about T&L technology, you can do that at TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems are proven hydraulic technology that works. Jeff Sheldon, Omaha World Herald, and more coming up.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Wendy's presents The Hypnotist.
What you reading?
Hypnosis in a snap. Oh, what you eating?
Ah, a bacon portobello melt from Wendy's. So mushroomy and cheddary.
Cheddary.
And this new brioche bun is so buttery.
Buttery.
Oh, you are totally under my command.
Nah, I'm just really hungry.
Wendy's bacon portobello melt is now even more captivating on a new buttery brioche bun.
Now that's better.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time.
Hi, it's the Herd. End the year saving up to 60% on your real estate costs. 60%, seriously. Move to a Regis office, and you can save up to 60%, all with no long-term lease. Act now. 2 months free. You'll get a beautifully furnished office at an impressive location, a receptionist to answer calls and greet clients, plus access to meeting rooms when you need them. See how Regis can save you up to 60% and get 2 months free. Visit regus.com/sport or call 1-800-OFFICES. That's...
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
We'll see mainly sunny skies and warm temperatures in our forecast for today. Expect highs near 54 degrees, and we'll see partly cloudy conditions tonight with lows near 23. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now, it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan. We can talk about that if you want. Got a busy week of high school basketball on our network of stations. Hope you can get out and get to a game. I know it's a busy time, hustling and bustling, getting that Christmas shopping done, whether you've just about ready to finish it or, like most of us, just getting ready to think about starting it. Get out, get her done, and we will have you on the air. If you're out and busy, take the headset, keep the radio on to any of our stations at PlatteRiverPreps.com. I can't wait to finish up the pre-Christmas part of the schedule. I totally lost what I was going to tell you right now, Jimmy, because I liked your story there. But one other thing that happened at a great time at the Midway PBR on Saturday night, a great crowd, sellout crowd. I don't know what the official sellout is, but it was hard to find a seat anywhere. Great atmosphere and great bull riding. Boy, I didn't think we were going to have anybody ride there for a while, the way things started out, but finished strong and a lot of great cowboys, a lot of great bulls out there. And in a related note with rodeo, I can't imagine the National Finals Rodeo not being at Las Vegas, but it appears that if you want to go to the National Finals Rodeo in Las Vegas, you better get your tickets for next year because it's moving. And I'm going off this story, saw it on a variety of spots, but this is from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. The NFR is leaving Las Vegas, it appears, this isn't finalized, after 2014, and going to Florida, near Disney World and Orlando, where they have a new 24,000-seat arena, $16 million in annual purses. And, you know, you just kind of read the story here. It's all about the money. And there you go. The NFR has been at the Thomas Mack Arena at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas, for 29 years. And the Las Vegas folks are going, what are you thinking? So we'll see what happens here. But it looks like they are headed to Orlando for the NFR. Tri-City Storm picks up a couple of wins over the weekend, which is good. Even if it is Youngstown, who's not a great team, the Storm right now trying to find themselves a little bit as well. But as we talked about with the coach last week, Jimmy, to go into a 12-day break, it's nice to have a little winning feeling on you.
Oh, always. Yeah, I don't care who you're playing. If you get a couple of wins, they're always good.
Big weekend for basketball. Nebraska picked up a couple of wins. It's finals week in Lincoln, so they're off until Saturday. Again, both the men and women will play at home. Nebraska women kind of sending a message to Creighton. They held them to 11 points in the second half. UNK, both teams, winners over Lincoln University. Connor Baronic, 38 points and 17 rebounds in that victory. So great job there for the men and women who will host Lindenwood on Friday. Hastings women, Laurels Wiener, 23 points. They beat Dort. The Hastings men, though, suffer their second loss of the year, trying to play catch-up, but couldn't quite get there. 94-84. The women will play at the College of St. Mary tomorrow, and the men will join the women when they take on Mount Marty on Saturday. And UNK and Hastings competed at the York Wrestling Open. Blake Fruchtel of York, a winner for the Lopers. Mark Fiala, Brock Smith, Leandro Arias, Chase White, Connor Bowling, and they are now off until the first of the year. So that covers most of the local aspect of this weekend in sports.
Doug, I didn't get to comment on this, but I really am proud of you for voting for Johnny Manziel, because I think a lot of people miscalculated or misevaluated him. He was on a team this year that could not stop anybody very well, and he had to force some throws in there when they were behind. His interceptions were not when they were ahead. He did not cost them any games. He played some games and he at Missouri and played, you know, fairly well, did not have a great game, but did not do anything to cost them the game, you know. And I thought he, under the circumstances, because he was under some scrutiny at the very beginning of the year, and for him to go out there and compete at the level he did, I thought he had a great year, and I think he did not have the best team, you know, so he made them a lot better than they really were. And I think that's what you were saying when you voted for the guy from Northern Illinois, and I forgot his name real quick.
Jordan Lynch.
Yeah, same type thing. I mean, you know, so I think that's what the Heisman Trophy's about a little bit. So.
And you know, it was, what a deal that there was no circus after the season got going at A&M. That's pretty big when you can keep the media away. And maybe losing to Alabama did that. I don't know, but that was still a whale of a game.
Yes, it was.
Coming up, Jeff Sheldon, Omaha World Herald. We'll put a cap on the Nebraska volleyball season, and we'll do it next.
Redefine yourself with the new Refirm Now. Because no matter who you are, now is the time.
I'm taking the new Refirm Now from Complete Nutrition because I want to be there for my kids when they get older.
I've lost 15 pounds and I feel amazing.
With the help of Complete Nutrition, their products and approach, my husband and I are taking control of our lives and our weight loss together.
Now I won't ever lose control of my weight or my health.
Now after losing 10 pounds in 1 month, I have my confidence back.
With Refirm Now from Complete Nutrition, you can get the weight loss results you want. Stop dwelling on failed diets in the past. Or telling yourself you'll start to get healthy later. Now is the time to lose the extra weight. Now is the time to get healthy. Now is the time to come into Complete Nutrition and pick up the new Refirm Now.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's The Herd. You've probably tried Hulu.com. Hulu Plus is so much more. With Hulu Plus, you can watch thousands of hit TV shows and a selection of acclaimed movies in the living room or on the go, your smartphone, your tablet. Favorites like Jimmy Kimmel Live, SNL. Plus, you get Hulu originals like Behind the Mask, Hulu's new docuseries that takes you inside the world of sports mascots. Hulu Plus is just $7.99 a month. And right now, you can try Hulu Plus free 2 weeks. When you go to HuluPlus.com/Colin, that's HuluPlus.com/Colin.
Happy Honda Days are here. That means you could unwrap a great deal on a 2014 Accord. Not only is it from KBB.com's best value brand, but it's packed with standard features like hands-free calling. Think that sounds good? Feast your ears on this holiday power ballad from Michael Bolton.
It's a winter wonderland, and the snow is gonna blow.
Everything's a little more special during Happy Honda Days. See your Honda dealer today.
Based on 2013 brand image awards from Kelley Blue Book, visit KBB.com for...
Best wishes for a happy holiday season with hope that you can find happiness and appreciation for the blessings we Americans enjoy. May gladness and peace be your companions. Season's greetings from Kappa in Elm Creek.
We'll see mainly sunny skies and warm temperatures in our forecast for today. Expect highs near 54 degrees, and we'll see partly cloudy conditions tonight with lows near 23. I'm Weather Eye meteorologist Sam Donaisky. Right now it's 48.
Doug and Daddy Show, Doug Duda, Jim Langan, back with you here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. As you are getting towards the end of the year, don't forget to see your Midway Auto Dealers. They were having a good time as well at the Midway PVR on Saturday. We thank them for their sponsorship of the Midway PVR, and we hope to have it back for many years to come. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, and the all-new ThinkMidway.com. Right now, you can go to your computer and see the inventory and see the great deals at ThinkMidway.com. Our Midtown Mart Cooler question over the weekend: what do you make of baseball banning home plate collisions? We both thought that that was a good move on Friday. 64% of the folks say good move. 36% like to see the collision. All right, here we go. Your Midtown Mart Cooler question of today: who would win in a hypothetical four-team playoff from this year's BCS standings? Florida State, Auburn, Alabama, and Michigan State are the top four teams, so that means it would be Florida State versus Michigan State and Auburn versus Alabama. You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Who would win this year's, if there was, BCS playoff? Jimmy, who would you think? We know that Alabama would be favored because that's already come out that they would be favored against anybody they played. But who would you think? Who would you pick to win it all?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say, I'd love to have four tickets for the Alabama-Auburn game and scalp them. I'm telling you that right now. That would be something I would like to have right now. But hey, if you told me right now, I'd take Florida State.
I think Alabama beats Auburn in a rematch, and I think Florida State finds a way. I think you'd have Florida State and Alabama in the final. I know who I'd be pulling for, but I guess I'd have to say I I still think Alabama's probably the best team in the country. Now, Florida State could change everybody's opinion on that because, you know what, over the last handful of years, the favorite in the national championship doesn't always go in and win. There's been enough of the underdog not only covering but winning.
You know, the of all the games I look back on, it was the Ohio State-Miami of Florida game where they had that overtime pass interference call. You know, or maybe they called that defensive holding. I guess it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was the game I'm going, whoa.
Did you get a chance to watch any of the 30 for 30 over the weekend on the Youngstown boys and Maurice Claret at all?
Oh, yes, I did.
That brings that back up. Wow.
Yes, I did get to see some. In fact, I think I taped that. I'll watch
scary.
The whole thing. Yes.
Kind of scary and weird all at the same time.
Yes, it is.
Well, the Nebraska volleyball season came to an end over the weekend, taking on number one Texas. To recap the weekend of the Nebraska volleyball season, he is the man that covers the Huskers for the Omaha World Herald. Jeff Sheldon joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jeff, thanks for the time this morning. How are you?
I'm doing real good. Thanks, guys, and good morning to you.
Well, great to have you on, and boy, so much now to kind of grasp here after the first season. At the Devaney Center, a young team. Coach Cook, time after time, was talking about this team growing and getting better at the beginning of the season, kept reminding us as they went into the Big Ten, and even in his post-game press conference saying he thought this team had grown and advanced farther than anybody in the country. Is there any reason to think that that statement would not be true?
No, I think you're right. I think from where they started at the beginning of the season in August to where they are now, I mean, they just grew by leaps and bounds. And part of that was they had to figure out how to use everyone, and roles had to emerge. I mean, when you're playing six freshmen regularly, you know, nobody really knows what to expect. Katie Rolfson missed the first weekend of the season as she was recovering from a shoulder injury. And Kelsey Robinson hadn't really become the Big Ten Player of the Year that she was by the middle and the end of the season. So, I mean, they came a pretty far way in just about every category, so they're going to be a really fun team to watch and cover for the next couple of years.
It looks like, and hearing it and watching it, it just seemed like Nebraska can't be sad about Saturday. They got beat by a better team.
Yeah, I would say that's right. Texas is phenomenal athletically. I think it's safe to say they're probably at another level athletically than what Nebraska was. They have some real big hitters and some real high flyers. And, I mean, credit to Texas. They were the defending national champs. And the knock on Texas for a long time was that they had the athletes, but the mental part of the game wasn't down yet. They didn't have, you know, a great amount of composure. And they walked into to a really hostile environment with 8,000 Nebraska fans, you know, right on top of them, and just played lights out volleyball, and they didn't make mistakes, and they played their game, and they just, Nebraska was really helpless. That's the best word I could come up with to describe it. Nebraska was helpless to stop them on Saturday.
I love how Coach Cook always makes a football reference in there. Do you think that ever gets under the skin of the football program?
Well, you know, it's funny. He takes what could kind of be considered maybe a little bit of digs at the football program sometimes. But I think, you know, he comes from a little bit of a football background, and he knows that by making football analogies is a way to make people who aren't real familiar with volleyball maybe understand it a little bit more. And that's smart by him. He's trying to kind of expand his sport. And if he can get a few more people to understand what he's talking about, maybe a few more people try to come through the turnstiles at the Devaney Center, and he gets a couple more fans. But, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that as far as team sports go, the Nebraska volleyball team is the most successful program at UNL and has been probably for the last decade.
We're talking with Jeff Sheldon of the Omaha World Herald here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Was Texas just more focused because it was Nebraska? Because obviously the match before, I mean, they drop a set to American University. They dropped a set to A&M. And even throughout the year, they weren't sweeping as many opponents as maybe a number one team you would get used to. Was there just more focus from the Longhorns Saturday?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, Texas was certainly dialed in from the first serve. And, you know, sometimes it's hard. Nebraska ran into this sometimes when they were in the Big 12, and you're just two notches above in terms of talent. Texas blew through the Big 12 undefeated and didn't even go five sets in any of those matches. I think they've now won 24 in a row. And sometimes, yeah, you have an off night or you lose focus just thinking you're going to roll in and steamroll a team, and then they jump up and bite you. But I think Texas knew they had gone five with Nebraska earlier in the season in Austin, could very easily have lost that game, and they knew that they were playing in a really hostile environment, so they brought their A game, and you saw what Texas's A game can produce. They're the defending national champs for a reason, and they're probably going to go be in the final match again come this Saturday.
Yeah, Jeff, before we get back into the actual season for Nebraska, just kind of your thoughts on the Final Four. We were talking on the show last week that, yeah, you want to look ahead, but if they could get back past Texas, a great chance to beat either Wisconsin or Purdue, and it ended up being Wisconsin, and get to a national final. The other side, man, what excitement it produced with Washington beating USC and then Penn State beating Stanford. Your thoughts on the Final Four?
Well, I think it's going to be an outstanding Final Four because, I mean, three of those teams are probably the best three teams in the country going into the tournament in Washington, Penn State, and Texas. And Wisconsin's a little bit of a surprise. You know, they went through the Champaign Regional. They beat a Purdue team that was probably as hot as any team in the country. Purdue had beaten Missouri and stopped their undefeated season. Purdue had swept Nebraska in two matches this year. And so what Kelly Sheffield's done in his first season at Wisconsin and where Wisconsin has come from the start of the year is really impressive as well. But I really see Texas, you know, taking down Wisconsin, and then it's just going to be a huge battle in the other semifinal with Washington, who's basically the host team since the Final Four is in Seattle, playing a Penn State team that just beat Stanford. And Penn State's got just as many athletes and weapons as Texas does. So, I mean, whether you're getting a Texas-Penn State final or a Texas-Washington final on Washington's home floor, essentially, it's going to be a great, great title match, I feel like, on Saturday night.
Jeff Sheldon, Omaha World Herald, with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jeff, if there was a media poll that you could vote in, where would Nebraska end up in your rankings?
I would say probably anywhere from 5 to 6. You know, they'd been ranked around 8th or 10th all year. They're certainly in the top 8, maybe because Purdue did beat Nebraska a couple times this year. You have to put Purdue ahead of them. But they're certainly, you know, a top 7 or 8 team at the very worst is where I would rank them.
So much buzz that this team will be not unbeatable, but vying for a national championship led by the Rolfson twins over the next 3 seasons. Is Nebraska poised even next year to have a shot at winning it all?
You know, that's an interesting question, and I don't think you can discount what Kelsey Robinson brought to the team in her 1 year here. And then she, you know, said that on Saturday night after the match, is watch out when these freshmen or seniors, they're going to win it all. I mean, Katie Rolfson's obviously a proven commodity. I think they really do have a question about how they're going to use Amber Rolfson next year. She's not exactly lighted up, I would say, this year. She had some really great moments, but when she played on the right side of the opposite hitter position, and I don't know if she was super comfortable there or if they really found the best connection between her and the setter, Mary Pohlmiller. Nebraska really, one of their weaknesses this year was getting offensive attack out of their middles, and so that is another question they have to figure out next year. There's a player that I'm really interested to see for Nebraska next year that redshirted this year, and that's Kira Larson, the freshman out of Fargo, North Dakota. She came to Nebraska as a middle blocker. They could play her there. They could also move her over on the right side and move Amber Rolfson over to the left and have both the Rolfson sisters, you know, playing the L1 and L2 positions. So I don't think it's a given that Nebraska is going to, you know, go to the Final Four next year. They certainly have their fair share of questions, but they are going to be one of the most talented teams in the Big Ten. You imagine all those freshmen that played this year are going to mature, and so there's a really good foundation to head into the next couple years. It'll be exciting to watch.
Well, obviously, all eyes will be when the Final Four comes back to Omaha in a couple of years, so I suppose pressure will be on the team, and Coach Cook, in his magical psychological way, will be using that in a couple of seasons. You touched on it a little bit there, Jeff, but just maybe expand on it a little more. Who will fill Kelsey Robinson's role, and a little bit more on why the Rolfson twins, who Nebraska fans have watched since they've been in probably the 7th or 8th grade, why there was such a difference between the two this year. And I know you touched on that just a little bit.
Well, yeah, they play different positions, and you know, they're both right-handed. So, but one's playing on one side of the court, and the other's playing on the other. And so, where the set is coming from is a little bit of a difference. You know, I think there's a little bit of a danger just because the Rolfsons are twins that you expect the exact same things out of them. And I don't know that that's really fair. You know, I try to tell people it's important to remember that they're individuals with individual skills and individual strengths, and they're playing two different positions. So what they could do next year, and John Cook has not said, you know, anything to me about doing this, but they could move Amber Rolfson over to the left side as well and play them basically both at the same position. They have another player that's coming in next year that'll be a true freshman next year. That's Maddie Haggerty, Megan Haggerty's younger sister out of Illinois, who will be joining the program and is an elite level, you know, recruit as an outside hitter. And then you have to figure out, you know, who to put on the right side. Do you keep Amber Olsen on the right side? Do you play Kira Larson over there on the right side? Do you put one of the new recruits over there on the right side? So I think as you have every year, every team's different. Even if you return a core of your players, and John Cook and his staff are going to have to find the right elixir and the right matchups to put their best six players out on the court next year.
Jeff Sheldon, Omaha World Herald. Let's wrap it up with this, Jeff. It was the first year moving into the new venue at the Devaney, and some places take a little bit longer to get used to. Your overall thoughts on the move to the Devaney and how it was different?
Well, I know that there was some, you know, reservations at the beginning of the year about whether they could take that wonderful atmosphere that was at the Coliseum and move it over to the Devaney Center. And I think it took, you know, a good month and a half. But by the middle of Big Ten play, they had it figured out. You know, the crowd noise for that Minnesota match in October was absolutely deafening. And you saw what could happen on Saturday night against Texas when, you know, the Texas team runs out on the floor and their band's there and is playing Texas Fight. And the Nebraska fans stand up and just start chanting, "Go Big Red," and drown out the band and the, you know, the Texas supporters that were there as well. So I think it's become a really intimidating venue for opposing teams to come into. And John Cook actually said something interesting when asked about it on Saturday after the Texas loss. He goes, "When they showed me the plans for this, I thought it was too big. You know, I didn't want 8,000 seats. I wanted 6,000 because I didn't think we could fill 8,000 consistently." And they did all year long. They led the nation in attendance for the first year ever. And I think it made believers out of the program and out of John Cook. And they've got an outstanding facility for the next, you know, foreseeable future.
Jeff, always appreciate catching up with you. We really thank you for kind of putting a ribbon on what was a very good volleyball season, and have a great Christmas. We'll talk again.
Thank you so much. You guys too. It was my pleasure.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Sheldon, Omaha World Herald, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Nebraska could be an outstanding volleyball team. Well, they are, but could be even better through the upcoming seasons based on the Rolfsons and everything that moves around them. And Jimmy, not a whole lot more to talk about. We were talking earlier off air that the All-State teams, Lincoln Journal Star, had done theirs. Omaha World Herald come out this week. So you can check it out online at omaha.com, volleyball, football. As usual, a lot of kids from the area represented, and Chase Reese of Grand Island, Brian Arp of Kearney were a couple of the football, Jake Paulson, Cozad, a couple of the super state, all-class, all-state football players. So congratulations to those guys.
Yeah, but it was a good year in this area. You know, it really was with football this year, and it kind of wrapped it up with the World Herald team, right?
So now that is in the past. The winter sports season is here. Some success again, as always, and we're looking forward to diving into more of the winter sports season with more of the coaches as we get towards the holiday break. Tomorrow, among our guests, Lee Barfnecht is going to join us to give us his take on coaching situations and maybe a little bit more about did Nebraska contact Mac Brown agent just to see if there'd be any interest. I just can't believe that at all, but it came from a very trusted writer at the Austin American-Statesman, so we'll talk with Lee a little bit about that, plus where the Huskers are as they get ready to go face Georgia in the Gator Bowl on New Year's Day. I want to thank Jeff Sheldon of the Omaha World Herald to talk Nebraska volleyball, also Hastings St. Cecilia coach Kevin Asher. Tomorrow, Damon Day will co-host, plus Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Jimmy Langan, as always, thanks for the time. See you Friday.
Yeah, see you Friday.
All right, folks, have a great one, and don't forget to sign up for the Doug and Daddy Bowl Bonanza at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's free with some great prizes. We'll see you tomorrow.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.